Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jackman. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
Be turning in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Over the next few moments, we're going to begin a new series of messages that we're going to do. We're doing it on Saturday night. I came last night and heard Brother Stephen preach. I love to hear him preach the gospel. I'm thankful for his message to you last week as I was away with family. We're going to do a series of messages over the next four Sundays looking at four different parables. Jesus often taught in parables. Well, what's a parable? A parable's a story. Much like I might use an illustration to kind of drive home a point, he would speak in parables. And sometimes his parables were easy to understand. Sometimes they weren't. Some people just walked away not caring if they understood the parable or not. And what I'm hoping to do, what we're hoping to do during this time of opening up God's Word together in January is to talk about how do we live out our faith? How do we live out what the Bible teaches? You think throughout the fall, we looked at the five solas of Scripture, some of the tremendous doctrine that came out of the Protestant Reformation. Then we looked for 4 weeks at the incarnation. What does it mean that Christ came and dwelt among us? Well, now we want to take all of that information we've learned, because we don't give it just so we'll be smarter. No, we want to study the Word of God and learn the Word of God because we want it to transform how we live our lives. We call that sanctification. So today, we're going to look at my favorite parable. Matter of fact, Charles Dickens said the parable we're going to read today was the greatest short story ever written. It's my favorite. I have not, over the last 20 years, I've not preached this text a lot. It's probably because when I began preaching about 22 years ago, and when you begin preaching, you're invited to different places to preach because you don't have a church to pastor. Well, this was my favorite passage. So everywhere I went, I preached this passage, the passage of the prodigal son. So finally, about the eighth time that Lori heard it, I remember we were driving home, she looked at me, she said, "Honey, I've got that one, okay? Can we start looking at another text?" Well, this probably made me a little bit gun-shy, but I do love it. And here's what I want us to do as we begin this text. I want this text to make us examine. See, that's why Jesus taught in parables. He wanted his listeners to examine their life. He was pointing out, he's going to talk about kind of a self-righteous older brother. Well, in verse 2, it says the scribes and the Pharisees are there, and they're questioning him. He wants us to examine our hearts and examine our lives and see where we are. Because see, that's where having as a goal to live out the Word of God and live out our faith, it begins by searching where we are. Where do we find ourselves today? Are we passionate in our walk with Christ, or is our walk with Christ cold, ritualistic right now? I'm going to read the text, make some observations. We're really just going to look at the two different brothers here over the next few moments and see how it's easy to find ourselves in both of these places. But in both cases of the sons, we see the loving Father. We see the loving Father that's there. He doesn't rebuke either one of them. He goes to them. He seeks to love them. And that's exactly where the loving Father stands today. He wants you to examine where you are in your walk with him. Not because he's going to come in and say, "Man, you're terrible." Not because he's going to come in and say, "I'm just going to swat you away." No, he comes in because he wants that passionate relationship with you, that walk with you. And that because when we examine ourselves and we see where we are we where we want to be in our walk with Christ? I'm going to read, so follow along, and I'm actually going to back up to verse 10. I know it's not probably in the sequence that you have. It's during the continued time of preaching, But I think verse 10 goes perfectly with the parable here. Verse 10 says, "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." If one today, I don't care whether you do it public or in your heart, you cry out, "God, I'm sorry. God, I'm not where I need to be. God, I've been a slave to sin. God, I turn from that right now. And I want to renew that relationship with you. I want to begin a relationship with you." Do you understand what that verse says? It says the angels in heaven rejoice. They're not up there going, "Well, that's about time." They rejoice. Man, let there be gladness in heaven today because of the hearts of the people gathered at Bailey. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a great famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods, the carob pods, that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." I want to stop for just a second. I don't want us to just overlook the fact, you know, for you to see something from a great way off, you got to be looking for it. See, I have people tell me all the time, and for me at my age with my eyes, the balcony's a great way off. The back of the sanctuary is a great way off. I will have people say to me, "Hey, I'm sorry I had to get up and leave. I didn't know they got up and left." That's a long way back there. Now see, something that's far off, we don't kind of catch it in the peripheral vision. For us to see something far away, it's because we're focusing on it. See, I think the Father, the loving Father, every day found the highest spot and he went and he looked for his son. Is today the day my son is going to come home? And that day he is watching. And while the son was still a great way off, he saw him. Verse 20. "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older brother was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him, because the father has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry." The older brother was angry and would not go in. "Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him." He pleaded with him. "So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. You know, I call this the parable of the loving father, because in both cases, you see a father who goes to his son. He goes to his son not with condemnation, not even with rebuke, but he goes in love. And that's exactly where God is today. He stands before us. He wants to hear our confession. He wants to hear us, Christ. He wants the relationship with him that we talked about, that I pray that 2018 will be. Well, let's look quickly at these two brothers. And let's see if we can see a little bit of ourselves in them as we desire to live out our faith. First of all, let's look at the younger brother. And here's the observation. You are not beyond the grace of God. No one here is beyond the grace of God. You know, when Jesus is telling this story, he paints perhaps the worst picture he could have painted of an individual. I want you to think about, as we read, what all that this younger son had done. First of all, he comes to his father. And he says, Father, I want my inheritance now. He was due, by Jewish law, one-third of his inheritance. But that inheritance was to be paid at the death of the father. So as Jesus was teaching, he would be saying, the son was going to the father saying, Father, you would really be better off to me dead than alive. I always tell Lori, because of life insurance, I'm more valuable with her dead than I am alive. She doesn't always agree with that. Sometimes she does, but I understand. But that's exactly what he was saying. He was saying, you're better off to me dead than alive. I wish you were dead. That way I could have my inheritance. Well, what does the father do? The father gives it to him. Well, then he takes his inheritance and he goes and just lives an immoral lifestyle. His older brother says he's with prostitutes, he's with the harlots, and he wastes everything. He wastes all of the inheritance the father gave him. Now, we need to understand in this history that in that day, when someone would waste their family's inheritance, and the family would turn their back on that individual, they would call it kazay, and it would literally be a ritual where they would come out and they would break a pot in front of the individual. And not only would the family totally break communication with that individual, the entire community, the entire town was to do so also. So he wastes his living. He's out feeding an unclean animal in the mud. He has nothing left. He's totally broke. Jesus is painting a picture of what many would have been saying, man, this is the lowest scoundrel in the world. But then you see the picture of the loving father. The loving father is watching for the son. And when he sees the son return, we see this, the son says, I'm gonna go to my father. And I'm not even gonna ask to be a son. I'm just gonna ask to be a servant, because he's a loving father. He even takes care of his servants. They have bread enough to eat and to spare. And I'm dying of hunger. I'm going today and I'm just gonna ask if I can be a servant. And you see this beautiful picture as the father runs to him. Middle Eastern men of this stature, they didn't run. They had people run for them. But he runs. He throws away all the cultural norms because of his love for his son, and he runs to meet the son. Well, then what does he say? He says, bring out the best robe. What does that mean? Tonight you're gonna be in the place of honor. He says, put a ring on his hand. That would be a signet ring that would say, this is the son of the father. Then he says, put sandals on his feet, because only slaves were without shoes. He would say, put sandals on his feet. What was the father saying? The father was saying, you may be content to be a slave, but you're not a slave. You're my son. And you see this beautiful act of compassion. So maybe as we examine our lives, that's where you see yourself. You see yourself as far away from God. And right now you're thinking, Marty, I know this story, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know what my life was like before I put on Sunday clothes and came into a church. You don't know what my life was like last night. You don't know what my life was like 20 years ago. No, I don't, and you don't know what my life was like. But God knows what both our lives were like. And God still says to you, I offer you forgiveness and grace, because if you are here today, you are not beyond the grace of God. God knows exactly what you've done. And God desires a relationship with you. God either wants today to save you, to redeem your life and bring salvation to you, or he wants to see you do exactly what the younger son did, repent, to turn, to come to him and let him reestablish that passionate relationship in your life. That's the desire of the loving Father that we serve. See, some of us, we're just content to be a slave. That's what he was. I'll be a slave. See, some of you right now in your lives, you are content to settle for second best. You're content to settle for the sins of this world. You're content to settle for the passions of this world. You're content to settle for what the world says is best for you, when you know in your heart God has something better. You know God wants more than that. Stop settling to be a slave when God said, you're my son, or you're my daughter, you're my child. That's the relationship he wants with you. There are no slaves in heaven. There's only sons and daughters in heaven. And that's the relationship he wants from you. So I don't care what you've done. I don't care what happened last night. I don't care what happened this past year or throughout your life. You are not beyond the grace of God. So if you're going to live out your faith, you've got to understand that. You've got to believe that. You've got to apply that to your life, because you'll never be all that God wants you to be, and you'll never have that relationship with him that he desires if you think in your life he can't forgive you of something in your life. He will forgive you. And if you know him, he has forgiven you. You're not beyond the grace of God. Well, let's quickly move to the second brother. Because it's interesting, as bad as the sin was with the younger son, I think it's easier for us to admit we see ourselves in the younger son than the older son. See, Jesus is teaching about the older son because he's got, you go back and read verse 2, the scribes and the Pharisees are there. They're part of this. They're asking questions. And he says, you know, there was also an older son. And the older son, he seemed to have it all together. The older son, he was there by the father's side. He was part of his life every day. He said, well, what's the warning here? Well, the warning here is that when the father wants him to rejoice that the younger son is home, you see the anger, the bitterness. You see how from the outside it looked like the son that was closest to the father was really furthest away. Let me tell you this, you can leave the father without ever leaving the farm. Let me tell you can leave a passionate relationship with Christ and never miss a Sunday sitting in your pew. It can happen. All of a sudden, your relationship with Christ, why did he stay there? Why did he stay? It was ritual. Was he serving the Father every day because he wanted to? Because he was passionate? No, the moment he's questioned, he says, wait a minute, I've been here every day. While he was out wasting his inheritance in sinful life, I've been here every day, and you haven't even let me celebrate with my friends. You know what's sad to me? You know what scares me? And it's harder to admit. Boy, I see myself in the older brother also. I see myself in the younger brother, because I was the prodigal.
But I see myself in the life of the older son as well, because you can grow, you can gain in knowledge, you can gain in position. All of a sudden, you're a leader in the Sunday school, you're a leader in on a committee, you're part of the church governance, you're part of the leadership structure. And then all of a sudden, you realize that your relationship with the Father is about position, it's about authority, and it's not about passion with Christ. It's not, you're not doing it anymore because you love Christ. You're doing it because you think, well, nobody else will do it if I don't. I don't want anybody serving because they think nobody else will do it. I want to serve him because, boy, this is what God desires. This is where God has gifted me and God wants me to be. See, it's easy when you're like the older brother as you grow in your faith to all of a sudden start looking down on people. I'm glad I'm not as bad as Lyle. And I got my issues, but I'm not as bad as Lyle. Or all of a sudden you begin to think, well, I know more than you. Don't question me. How dare you question me? I have a PhD. As my father says, that means piled higher and deeper. That's what he calls it. But we begin to think, man, we've got it all together. I've arrived in my spiritual walk. I'm more holy than you. I'm more spiritual than you. I know the Word of God more than you. And I'm just looking for you to mess up, and then I'm going to be there to cast the first stone. See, there's part of me that says to the older brother, man, you got a good point. Man, shouldn't we make the younger son prove his repentance before we have a party for him? Shouldn't we make the younger son at least have to crawl back and beg back? Shouldn't we make him pay for his sins? And the loving father says, I paid for his sins. You know, it's easy to admit when we're the younger. Maybe it's cool being the prodigal. But boy, it's hard to admit when you see self-righteousness in your own life. And I tell you, the sin of self-righteousness is no worse or no better than the sin of sinful living. Because it's both a sin against God. So, maybe these are the extremes. Maybe there's the one extreme of just the in the muck and mire of sin, and maybe the other extreme is the self-righteous Pharisee. Well, we're probably somewhere in the middle. But if we're going to have this passionate walk and live out the Bible and live out our faith, we're going to have to examine where we are. And in either case, we've got to run to the Father and experience his grace and his forgiveness. Because he's not saying to you, you're a slave. He's saying, you're my child. And because of that, I want you to live as my child. That's what I pray we'll do today. That's what I pray the commitment we'll make as we make a resolution. How about this simple resolution? I want to be more like Christ in 2018 than I've ever been. I tell you this, I want you to love Jesus with all your heart in 2018, then do whatever you want to do. But let's make sure that relationship is where God wants it to be. Not where we're content that it is, but it's where God wants it to be. Let's pray together.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919-847-4477. Thanks again and have a blessed day.